Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Good morning. That's a good-looking pastor right there. How many thankful for your pastor? Man, I so appreciate them. So honored to be back with you at Word of Life. Hey, say this with me. Say, the rest of my life will be the best of my life. Now, if you've ever heard me before, you probably said that before. If not, I'm going to try to get you to say it again a couple more times, because I believe that God has good things in store for our future. How many believe that? I mean, we're at the beginning of a new year. I love this, a year of momentum. I mean, want to get some momentum going in your life and your, and I mean, you see the momentum God's doing, what God's doing at our church is just phenomenal. And I love a new year. It's like God just gave us 365 brand new days of unlimited possibilities. I mean, gifts, here we go. What are you going to make out of this day? I mean, you got to make the most out of every day, because your day is your responsibility. Some of the other days said, it's just not my day. I said, well, no day's really your day. They're all his days. And this is the day that he made, and it's up to us just to rejoice and be glad in it. I mean, you might as well enjoy today. It took you your whole lifetime to get here anyway. And think about it. It took you 18 years, 62 years, 29 or so years, however old you are, it took you that long to get here. Why not make the most out of today? Today is a gift. Yeah, so enjoy today. I love a new year. People are all excited about, you know, new things coming up. And if I'm a coach, so I'm working with people all the time on reaching their goals and what they're trying to accomplish this year, what they're trying to accomplish in their life or their career, whatever it may be. And I was looking at the beginning of a new year as people are making their resolutions. The top three resolutions people make, one of them is to lose weight. That's always the number one. I'm going to lose weight this year. Last year, one of mine, I'm going to lose weight. 25 pounds was my goal. And I got to the end of the year, and I only had 30 to go. So I'm starting over again this year. I'm going to lose some weight this year. I was really excited about it until the other day. I saw a T-shirt said, fat people are harder to kidnap. I was like, hold on. I got to protect myself. It's dangerous out there, you know. But losing weight's always a big one, you know. People want, I'm going to lose weight this year. Exercise more. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to exercise. And right now, this first couple weeks, the gym is packed. If you go to the gym, it's like everyone's in there. The lines are long. I mean, line was so long at the gym the other day, I left. Line was shorter at Dunkin' Donuts. And so I just went in there. But, you know, exercise more. That's always a big one. Do better with your finances. How many get out of debt this year? I'm going to work at getting out of debt. I want to give more this year. Pastor gave us a great way to help us in that area, is to take that challenge, that 90-day challenge. That'll really get you on the right path for what you're trying to accomplish. But here we are, and I've decided to live my year as a reverse paranoid. You know, someone who's always paranoid, like people are talking about me. I think they're talking about me, or someone's out to get me. People are paranoid. I'm a reverse paranoid. I constantly feel like people are out to bless me. People are out to do good to me. They must be saying something nice about me. I wonder what it is. What if you could live your whole life with a positive expectation of good things happening? Now, I'm not saying life's going to be perfect. We all know that. I mean, it takes work to be positive. How many have to work at being positive? Yeah. I mean, I'm naturally a pessimist. I mean, my blood type is B negative. That hell, you know, reminds me, I heard this about this. These family had twin boys, and the boys were identical. I mean, they looked exactly alike. You couldn't tell them apart. Nothing, I mean, you could not tell them apart at all. They looked exactly alike. Now, everything else was totally different. Completely different. If one was hot, the other was cold. If the TV was too loud, the other one was too soft. If one was an optimist, one was a pessimist. I mean, everything else is different. The dad thought he'd play a little experiment. Their birthday came along, and he went in the pessimist room, and he just filled his room up with all kind of gifts and toys and games and just all kind of fun stuff. He went in the optimist room and put up just a big old pile of horse manure. He thought he'd see how they responded. You know, the pessimist came, found all the gifts, got all upset, started crying. He said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "Oh, Dad, all these toys are going to make all my friends jealous. Half of them need batteries. The other half, I got to read the instructions. Eventually, they're all going to break, and it's just not going to be any fun." The dad left the room, went down the hallway. As he got closer to the optimist kid's room, he heard him laughing, jumping, just having a good time. He walked in, manure's everywhere. He said, "What in the world?" He said, "What are you so happy about?" He said, "Dad, with this much manure, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere." So you have a choice, you know, to find the good, to find the bad, the positive. It's really a choice every day. And so if we're really going to have a great year, how many, I'm a pastor just in that video saying this will be our best year. How many believe this could be your best year yet? Yeah, and if you have that kind of expectation, you can get that kind of momentum. You know what helps with momentum is expectation. And if we can learn to elevate our expectation, let me ask you, what are you expecting out of this year? What are you expecting God to do in your life this year, in your business, your finances, your relationship, in our church? The answer to that question is real important because the level of your expectation really sets the limit for what you'll receive. I think it's really true, whether just for this year or whether it's for our whole life, if you expect a little, you'll probably get a little. But if you expect a lot, think how much could really take place. I mean, do we really believe with God all things are possible? If we do, we can literally change our world by changing the level of our expectation. You know, I believe whatever you expect with confidence really becomes your own self-fulfilling prophecy. What are you expecting God to do? If you think little, believe little, expect little, pray little, you'll probably get little. Even though God's really able to do so much and move on your behalf, we limit God by what he can do in our life by our own low expectations. So how do I raise the level of my expectations? How do I get a momentum going? How do I really make this a great year? I believe there's one key, and there's a whole lot of things, but I want to share one with you today that I found has been vital in my life to create momentum, keep momentum going, and that is God's favor. How many like to have more of God's favor on your life? You know, the Bible talks about increasing favor, but there's a scripture I want to show you in Isaiah. If you got your Bible, look over in Isaiah. It's good news in here. If you don't like your world, you can change it. You can start believing bigger, dreaming bigger, and expecting bigger. I love, our church, man, what's coming, the new building, and all the exciting things that as we're growing. And there's big dreams around here. I've found that big dreams attract big dreamers. And so how many got some big dreams in this place? Some things that you really want to see God do? And so, God, you know, here's the thing. It doesn't take any more energy to dream big than it does to dream small. So why not dream big? If you're going to be thinking anyway, you might as well think big. I love what Michelangelo said. He said, "The greatest danger for most of us is not that our dream is too high and we miss it, but that our dream is too low and we reach it." You need to dream so big, it'll take you your entire lifetime to make it come to pass. I mean, and so there's a scripture in, Isaiah 61. Look at this scripture in Isaiah 61. You've probably heard this scripture before. But I was studying this because I was looking at the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee in the Bible is every 50 years is a year of Jubilee. And during Jubilee, debts are canceled and all this awesome stuff happens. And I thought, man, what a great message. I mean, everyone's preaching on Jubilee. I want to preach on Jubilee. This is a few years back. And so my studies brought me to this scripture here in Isaiah 61. In verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to them that are bound." And then it goes on in verse 2 to say, "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Now my scripture brought me here, my studies brought me here, and I'm like, that's the year of Jubilee, the acceptable year of the Lord. This is going to be awesome. And the Holy Spirit says, "I don't want you to teach on Jubilee." I said, "But Lord, everybody's teaching on Jubilee. I heard Joel Osteen talk about it. It's the year of Jubilee." I was like, I want to preach on Jubilee. The other day, someone introduced me, "What's Dave Martin like?" Someone said, "He's kind of a mixture between Joel Osteen and Larry the Cable Guy." What in the world does that look like? Just hold your Bible up and get her done. I don't know. But So I'm in this study, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, look again, but I want you to look at that scripture from the New International Version. So I got out the New International Version, I looked it up, and it said to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And all of a sudden I said, well, I knew the acceptable year of the Lord was every 50 years. I'm just not sure which year is the year of the Lord's favor. He said, every year is the year of my favor. For those who learn how to accept, walk in, and recognize the favor of God. He said, wherever you go, I want you to begin to teach people how to recognize my favor. Because whatever you recognize, you become thankful for. Whatever you're thankful for increases in your life. You want to have a year of momentum, you're going to need a year of favor. You're going to need God's favor in every area of your life. How many can think of some areas where you could use God's favor right now? God to shine his face upon situation. Here's the thing, favor could change your medical report. Bible said Sarah was barren in her womb, couldn't produce a child. God showed her favor, she had a child. Favor changed her medical report. Favor can restore relationships. Get around right people, favor can come towards you. Get around wrong people, favor can leave. You know, people are like elevators. They take you up or they take you down. Someone who's not taking you up will eventually take you down. How many found it doesn't take a lot of wrong people in your life to mess stuff up? One wrong person can mess. I tell people, every now and then you need to get out your cell phone and delete some people. One wrong person can mess up a whole lot of stuff. Remember Jonah? The Jonah on the boat and the waves come, the storm comes, they start throwing stuff off the boat. They quickly found out it wasn't what was on the boat that was causing the problem. It was who was on the boat. Yeah, Bible says you got to love everybody. Didn't say you got to let everybody on your boat. Some of you are in storms like, how do I get out of this? What do I do? Throw some people overboard. You find you get wrong people off your boat, all of a sudden the storm begins to stop. And so here we are, and God's favor, whatever you recognize, you become thankful for. Whatever you're thankful for increases in your life. Whatever you recognize, you become thankful for. What does that mean? Well, first of all, you got to learn to recognize God's favor. And God's favor is around us all the time in the little things every day. And learning to recognize and see those things really makes a huge difference. The other day I went to a restaurant to eat. Me and a friend of mine, it was going to be a 30-minute wait. They gave me that little pager, you know, that goes off when your table's ready. Within 5 minutes, my pager went off. I went, favor. My friend said, what are you talking about, favor? I said, they told us 30 minutes. 5 minutes, our table's ready. He goes, oh, someone probably just left early. Whatever you recognize, you become thankful for. You think God cares about your table being ready early? I think God cares about everything. And he did say in the Bible, how many believe the Bible? He did say in there, in everything give. So how could I thank him too much? You think he's like, don't thank me for that, seriously. I got other stuff to worry about. You know, in everything he said, give thanks. Front parking spot, them all. Thank you, Lord, for favor. My little boy, we were at the arcade. He was winning tickets. He'd won about 300 tickets. And you know, when you win tickets, you can go trade them in and get prizes. And so he had his 300 tickets. He's going to trade them in because for 300 tickets, you can get a pencil eraser. He's about to go get his pencil eraser. This guy walks up out of nowhere and says, I'm not going to use these if you want them, and hands him his big stack of tickets. There's over 1,000 tickets. My little boy looked at those tickets. He looked at me. He said, Dad, favor. I said, yes. If I can get him to recognize favor in the little things, whatever you recognize, you become thankful for. By the way, it's good. My wife and son are here this weekend with me. And so my little boy Solomon is awesome. He's 10 years old. He came in the other day. He said, Dad, he said, I just saw something on TV that said in some parts of the world, men do not know their wives until they get married. I said, that's every part of the world, son. But anyway, they're here with me this weekend. So whatever you recognize, there's something about, a friend of mine did a whole thing on the law of recognition. Just being able to recognize everything you need is already there, just waiting for you to recognize it. Someone sent me a thing the other day I was reading, and it said, just talking about recognition, it said that Muslims do not recognize Judaism as a religion. It said that Jews do not recognize Jesus as the Messiah. It said Christians do not recognize the Pope as the leader of the Christian church. It said Baptists do not recognize each other at Hooters. It said that Oh, never mind. Okay. So here's whatever you recognize, you become thankful for. And so as I learned to recognize the little things that happen around me, I begin to see increase in those different areas of my life. And so I began to look for the things that God was doing all around us. And some people go, oh, well, you just got lucky. I don't really believe in luck. I don't believe in luck. An all-knowing, all-powerful God, luck. I mean, that has nothing to do with it. It's God's favor. He decided to shine his face upon you. Someone sent me this the other day. It said, lost dog. It's a newspaper article, a little clipping. It said, lost dog, brown fur, some missing due to mange. Blind in one eye, deaf, lame leg due to recent traffic accident. Slightly arthritic, goes by the name Lucky. Is favor important in our life? Absolutely, it's important. It's important to creating momentum for us fulfilling all the destiny that God's put on our life, for us to fulfill in everything that we're created to do. So it starts with recognition. It's a critically important part of our life. Begin to look for the little things. If you can just begin to see, there's things happening all around you. You ever been at the grocery store? Person in front of you has a cart full of stuff. You got two things. They're like, oh, you got two things. Go ahead, you can go in front of me. Has that ever happened to anybody? Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for favor. Really? I thought they were just being nice. Whatever you recognize, there's something about that recognition that is so powerful to seeing more of God's favor, because we all want more of God's favor. Lady, middle-aged lady, had a heart attack, went to the hospital. They're on the operating table. She has a near-death experience. She goes to heaven. While she's in heaven, she's like, God, is it time for me to go? He said, no, it's not time for you to go. You're going back. You've still got 30 years left to live. She came to after her surgery, and she's in the hospital, and she's recovering. She's like, I've got 30 years left to live. God told me I'm going to be here 30 more years. I want to make sure I look good. She goes, while I'm in here, could you give me a facelift, fix me up a little bit, maybe some liposuction, some nips, tucks, I'll get my hair done. She got everything, got herself all fixed up. Finally, she healed up from everything, and they released her from the hospital. They were taking her out to the car when an ambulance came by, hit her, and killed her. She gets back to heaven. She's like, God, what am I doing here? You told me I still had 30 years left to live. He said, that was you. He didn't recognize her. So see, here's the thing. Whatever you recognize, you become thankful for. And so it's such an important thing. Everything you need is already in your life, just waiting your recognition of it. What you need is already here. It's just up to us to identify, to see it, to recognize it. And if you don't recognize it, man, it could cost you greatly. The thing about the Pharisees, they didn't recognize the divinity of Jesus, and it cost them eternity. It cost them miracles. It cost them the joy of his presence. On the other hand, the thief on the cross did recognize Jesus as the Son of God, and he received eternal life. So what you need is waiting for you to recognize, begin to see what is there. And so I began to do this study on the favor of God. In Luke 2:52, it says that Jesus increased in favor. Now, if Jesus had to increase his favor, why would I think I don't need to increase my favor? So I started looking into this a little more. He increased in favor with God, it says, and man. So God would be the source of favor. Man would be the instrument by which favor comes. So I need favor with God and with man. So how do I increase my favor with God and with man? Well, first by recognizing it, then by being thankful. It's amazing what a little bit of thankfulness can do. I mean, I don't know about you, but when someone's grateful, someone's thankful, we travel all over the world. One of the first things we always try to learn is the word thank you. We go to another country, if we can learn thank you, you know. We were in France, merci, you know. In South Africa, buy a donkey. In Indonesia, it's terima kasih. I got that one mixed up. I kept saying tiramisu. They kept bringing me dessert. Anyway, if you're in South America, it's gracias. Or if you're in South Florida, it's gracias too. But thankfulness opens up incredible doors. When my son is thankful, I do a little something. Dad, thank you. You're the best dad. I'm like, what else do you want, buddy? How many parents you got that feeling? When your kids are thankful, when they're grateful, man, how much more do you want to do? And I think it's the same with God. When we recognize the things around us, we begin to thank him. Now he begins to increase the favor in greater areas than we've ever experienced or thought of before. Whatever you recognize, you become thankful for. So how do I begin to increase this favor? How do I find it in the little things? The other day, it was a little diner, and I'd finished eating, went up to the counter to pay. No one's at the counter. Favor? No, kidding. I just left. But no, that's not favor. That's stealing. But listen, I put this little book together. I hope you pick up. We got a few of them left last night and this morning. First service, they bought a bunch of them. But this it isn't for everybody. It's only for people who'd like to have more of God's favor. This will really, really help you. And I just took a study. I found 7 ways you could increase your favor. 7 ways to increase your favor, and I put them all in this book called The Force of Favor. And if you can only get one thing, just the introduction alone is worth the entire book. That's where we really talk about the recognition, the law of recognition, understanding how to recognize it. And that's real easy to read. And then the rest of the book's a lot of fun too. But if you want to get a copy, it's only $20. You can get a copy. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a little favor. If you want to get a second copy, how many know some people who could use some favor right now? Maybe someone you've been praying for, thinking about right here at the first of the year. And if you want to buy 2 copies, you can buy one for $20. You can buy the second one for just $10. So 2 of them for $30. While we've got them left back there. A lot of people have been doing that, and someone bought 10 of them, one for all their employees or something like that. It's just a great way. One of the ways to increase your favor that I talk about in here, because I give you 7 ways, one of them was with a gift. The Bible says your gift will make room for you. And that's not talking about playing the piano or singing, which is a gift, but it actually, if you study it out, it's actually talking about a material gift. Like if someone invites me over to their house for dinner, I'll bring a candle. We bring something, just say thank you for having us over. You bring a gift. If our president goes to another country, he'll take a gift. Or if a diplomat comes to America, they'll bring a gift. And so gifts open up doors of opportunities. Gifts open up people's heart. And so maybe there's someone you've been wanting to invite to church. How many got someone you've been thinking, man, I'd love to see them come to church this year. And this would be a great way. Hey, I got you this. I was thinking about you. Here's the book. You should come check out our church. You'd love it. 80% of people would come to church if you just ask them, they say. And so anyway, those are back there. You can get one, like I said, one for 20, 2 for 30. Or if you're really into wisdom, which the Bible also said Jesus increased in wisdom. If you want this year to be different than last year, you got to learn something this year in order to make it different than last year. See, if you do the same thing this year you did last year, this year will be just like last year. So the Bible says, whatever you do, get wisdom. It says that a wise person, last time I was here, I taught a lot on this subject of wisdom, if you remember that. And because I try to learn something every day, if I can learn something little every day. I was telling you, I sign books. And signing books, I'm finding like Christy. There's like 5 ways to spell Christy. I didn't know I did that. Amy, there's like 5 ways to spell Amy. Sean, there's like 3 ways to spell Sean. I'm always learning new ways. I told you about the girl I met at Starbucks. Y'all remember that? The girl, she was new. I was just messing with her because she had a little badge on, you know, trainee. And I was like, that's funny, you know, your mom named you trainee. She looked at me, she said, it's Trinae. So whatever you do, get wisdom. And so there's always a few people that are like me. I can't go to Barnes & Noble without spending $200 or $300. There's too much stuff I don't know. I hate not knowing. So if you go to my house, I got over 4,000 books. I can't learn enough. I can't get enough. There's always a few people that like, the book's going to help you. You're going to love it. But if there's people like me that want to go a little bit deeper in understanding of this favor, I put together, I'm a coach. So me, you know, we got 30 minutes here this morning. This just give us 40 days together. If you want to spend 40 days with me really getting into more of God's favor, understanding it, I put together this little program here. And what you get in here is you get a copy of the book, The Force of Favor. You get a workbook. How many remember better when you write stuff down? Yeah, that's me too. So I made a workbook so we can go through that together. Then there's 8 coaching videos. So there's 8 videos. The first one will be on recognition. We'll get into that a little bit more. And then we'll go through each of the 7 ways to increase your favor. Each week, we'll do that coaching video together, fill out the workbook. There's audios in here. And then there's 40 daily videos. So for 40 days we spend together, I'm telling you, at the end of 40 days, going through the 40 days of favor with me, You'll begin to understand it's not a one-time event. Favor's not just something that happens every now and then. Favor's a lifestyle. How many like to live a lifestyle of favor? Seeing it every day, learning how to follow the path of favor. in your life. I can sit here all day and just tell you story after story of God's favor in my life because I understood these principles that I shared here. So we go a lot deeper than the book. Normally, if you try to buy this set, normally, or if you go on our website and try to buy this whole coaching program, the 40-day program, so it's almost $300, like $290 or something like that to buy the whole thing. This weekend, while we're here, we got a few of them left. If you're like me, you say, man, I want to get into this. I really want to see this flow of favor in my life this year. Help, it really is one of the keys to helping create momentum. You can get the whole thing while we have them for just $100. So that's way less than half price. So while we got them left back there, say thank you. Thank you. Just talked about thankfulness. Y'all are ungrateful. Just sit there staring at me. I gave you a really good deal. Anyway, it's less than half price. That's a good deal, ladies. Anyway, they're back there, and I'll be back there to say hello to you. But that just really helps you get into it. So let me give you just a couple of ways you can increase favor. Just a couple ways that will help you. One is to declare favor. That's always a good one. That's one of the first ones. There's a little declaration you can tear out and put up every day when I get up in the morning. Father, I thank you for favor today. I thank you that favor goes before me. And I begin to declare. How many know your words are powerful? And the Bible says our tongue is like a rudder. It's charting the course of our life. So I'm charting the course of my life by what I say. So I'm speaking favor into my future. So when I get there, before I got on the plane to come to Jackson, Mississippi, I declared God's favor to go before me. So when I got here, favor would be here waiting for me. When you go to work in the morning, when I get up, I'm declaring, Father, I thank you for favor today. I thank you. I'm your favorite child. He was like, well, you can't be God's favorite. God doesn't have favorites. Sure he does. Every one of us is his favorite. He said, you're the apple of his eye. And so if you begin to see that and begin to declare that, it's one of the ways to increase your favor, to declare favor. Another way is obedience. Ooh, I don't like that one. You got give us something else. Favor is a reward for obedience. When you do what God says, it's amazing that favor comes as a reward for your obedience. I mean, think about it just in the natural. When my son is obedient, I want to do so much more for him. Favor is a reward for obedience. Excellence is a way to increase your favor. I love, that's one thing I so honor about your pastors and your church is such the spirit of excellence in this house. I mean, glad you come to a church of excellence. I mean, God is a God of excellence. I love it. I went back, saw the kids ministry and all that. Man, that looked exciting. I wanted to go to kids church. Pastor's daughter last night, my son was here last night. They were talking in the back, and she heard that I was funny, and she was thinking about coming into church instead of going to kids' church. She was going to come in here. She heard I was funny. She goes, I think I'm not going to go to kids' church. I'm going to go into adult church. And my son heard her say that and goes, he's not that funny. Just come with us to the kids' church. Took care of him when we got back to the room. But I mean, look at how awesome that is. Man, that makes your kids excited. They can't wait to come to kids' church. I mean, I want my son to be more excited about coming to kids' church than going to Chuck E. Cheese or Party Safari or whatever it may be. Excellence creates that atmosphere. And how many found, and that's a lifestyle that we live. I believe our lifestyle of excellence creates favor. I mean, and sometimes it's the little things. Like, you ever been to the grocery store, you picked up some potato chips, you're over in the milk section and decide you don't want the potato chips? So you just set them, someone will put them, you just set them right down there. And how many have ever seen potato chips in the wrong section or something? You know what I'm talking about? How many did it? You're the one. And a person of excellence would say, you know what? I don't want these. I'm going to go all the way back over to aisle 4 where I got them. I'm going to go back down. I'm going to put them right back. That's just living. If the toilet paper runs out, put a new roll on. Okay? And make sure the paper comes off from the top. And not from the underneath like that. I mean, it's little things sometimes, but I'm just saying, if you can be a person of excellence in everything that you do. How many found that one little thing can mess up a whole lot of stuff? So if we're people of excellence in everything we do, I heard about a couple, they're planning their vacation. They'd had everything planned. They're getting ready to go on vacation. And the night before they left, the wife's boss calls and says, hey, we just had a big meeting come up in the morning, and I'm going to need you to be there. She said, well, I leave in the morning. My flight's for vacation. He said, I know, but you need to be at this meeting. He said, I've been planning this. He said, look, it's your job. So you figure something else out. If you're not the meeting, you're going to lose your job. So she talked to her husband. Her husband said, I don't want to lose my job. And so they were going to Florida on vacation. So they had everything planned. And so, okay, that's fine. The husband said, I'll go ahead and fly down. And I'll, you know, that first day you pick up the keys to the condo and you get the rental car and you got to do all that kind of stuff. And so he said, I'll just go down, get everything taken care of. You go to the meeting and then you just jump on the flight the next morning and we'll have a great vacation. So that's what they decided to do. So he flew on down, got everything ready, got the condo, the hotel, got some, the car, some food, all that. That night he just sent his wife an email just to let her know he'd made it and everything was fine. So he shot her an email. When he typed the email in her email address, he got one of the letters wrong. I mean, not even a big deal, just one letter. It's not a big deal, just one little letter, right? Well, little mistakes can mess up a lot of stuff. One letter wrong makes it the wrong email address, which goes to the wrong person. Lady up in Wisconsin got the email. She'd just come home from the funeral home where she'd buried her husband. He had just passed away, and she was checking her email. All of a sudden, this email pops up. It says, hello, honey. Just wanted you to know I arrived safely. She passed out. Her son came in and said, Mom, what's wrong? She said, read that email. He looked at the email and said, hello, honey. Just want you to know I arrived safely. Everything's prepared for your arrival tomorrow. This said, P.S., it sure is hot down here. So in everything, you just want to be a person of excellence in everything that you do. And so all these are ways, and I'm just giving you quick ways. All these are in there just telling you how to increase favor in your life. Solving a problem for someone increases your favor. I mean, that's what money is not a mystery. Money is a reward for solving problems. You're rewarded in life for the problems you solve. You don't like the reward you're getting, find different problems to solve. A garbage man may get $15 an hour. A lawyer may get $300 an hour. They solve two different kinds of problems. Everything was created to solve a problem. You're either one of two things. You're either solving a problem or you are a problem. This microphone solves a problem. If it quits working, it becomes a problem. My watch solves a problem. If it quits working, it becomes a problem. Everything was created to solve problems. Even good listeners can get paid like $80 an hour. You could be a counselor. Just know when to grunt in the right place. People come talk to you all day. How'd that make you feel? That'll be $80. We'll see you next Thursday right here. So solve a problem for someone. And we could go through all these. Let me give you the last one. I want to pray for you. Because how many of you got some areas where you could use God's favor? Let me see your hand again. Because I'm going to pray. I believe God's favor can happen quickly. I believe God's favor can happen quickly in our life. And there's some things we can do to open up that opportunity. One of them is the challenge Pastor just gave us, that tithing challenge. That opens up the windows of heaven over your life. How many believe the Bible? Let me see your hand. Okay. And so the Bible says when you honor God with your tithe, he'll open up the windows of heaven. We know tithe means tenth. It's not even a Bible word. That's just a math word. It means tenth. Can't mean anything else but tenth. And so when we bring God back 10% of our increase, it's not really about the money. I grew up in a church. We thought it was all about money. Tithing was about, can you pass the money test? I mean, we went to kids' church. They taught us songs in kids' church, you know. God will take it out of your hide if you don't pay your tithe. We didn't learn the joy of giving to God. I mean, we were scared. God was like the godfather of the mafia, and tithe was like protection money. Just give him his money, he won't break your legs. And we didn't learn the joy of giving to God, that we honor God, that it really has nothing to do with money. You think God needs your money? Seriously, I mean, God owns everything. You think God's pacing heaven going, oh, I hope Dave tithes. We got new robes for the angels. We got to pay for this stuff somehow. I don't know. God doesn't need my money. It's not about money. Tithing, that challenge, it's not a money challenge. It's a trust challenge. It's just saying here at the beginning of the year, are you going to choose to believe the word and trust God this year in every area of your life to put God first? In every area of your life. If you're willing to do that, what he said is he would open up the windows of heaven over your life. Now, I would say there's not any of us in here that don't want the windows of heaven open over our life. Of course we do. How do we do it? It's real simple. It's like this. Anybody ever had a window? I remember growing up, we had a window that wouldn't stay open. If we opened the window, as soon as you let go, it slammed shut. Anybody ever had a window like that? Wouldn't stay open. You had to put a book in it. or a stick or something to keep it open. We had a window like that. We'd open the window, it'd shut. Finally, we'd put a stick in it, like a paint thinner or a book or something that kept the windows of heaven open, or kept the window of our house open. And in natural, what we're talking about there, but in the Bible, it's talking about opening up the windows of heaven. I kind of look at tithing. The Bible says your tithe opens up the windows of heaven. Now, if I tithe, he opens up the windows. If I miss a week, the window shuts. I tithe, he opens up the windows of heaven. Miss a couple weeks, the window shuts. Now, the problem is my window's going up and down, up and down. And about the time he said he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings on you, don't have room enough to receive. What if he got ready to pour out blessings on you, didn't have room enough to receive, and your window is shut? Oh, shoot. So how do I keep the windows of heaven? How many do not want to miss any of God's blessings this year? I want everything God's got for me this year. So how do I position myself in a place for his favor to be released in every area of my life by consistently honoring him with my tithe? Man, this tithe challenge is a great opportunity for you to see if it works. Because how many know if God's not telling the truth, how many want to find out now? Right? You don't get up to heaven, it's like, oh man, he tricked me. It's a motel. I want to know if he's telling the truth. He said, trust me, prove me. Pastor's giving us a challenge. And he was like, hey, if it doesn't work, look, we'll give you your money back. That's a pretty, I mean, that's someone who really believes this stuff and who believes this works. And so I remember 20 years ago, almost 20 years ago now, someone challenged my wife and I with this same thing, to try it for 90 days. Prove God. See if he's not telling the truth. And what we did by consistently tithing is we put a book in the window. It kept the windows of heaven open over our life. Someone challenged us, much like you, to try it for 90 days. We tried it for 90 days. That was almost 20 years ago. And I tell you what, I've never quit because I found out that God was true, that the Bible was true, that what he said was true. And if he said he would do it, he would do it. And 20 years later, I'm finding that God's favor is pouring out on our life. In that little, we lived in a little government-assisted apartment, Section 8 housing. You know, how much we made determined how much we paid for rent. We didn't have a bed, had a little air mattress, didn't have a dining room table and chairs. We were just starting out here in this little apartment, and someone challenges us. So we take the 90-day challenge, and we begin to trust God. Well, once we got past that, man, all of a sudden I put a book in the window. Now the windows of heaven are open, and God began to pour out blessings on us that we didn't have room enough to receive. His favor began to flow in our life in that little apartment. All of a sudden, this lady shows up at our house, knocks on the door. I open the door. She goes, God told me to come here. I'm supposed to buy you something for your house. I said, okay. That kind of makes you a little uncomfortable. You know, you don't know what someone's thinking. I mean, I don't know how much she wants to spend or what. And I'm like, awesome. She goes, what do you need? I'm like, toaster? Maybe that's too much. Maybe a shower curtain. I'm trying to think of something. All of a sudden, it just kind of came out. I said, there's a bed we've been looking at. And my wife said, "Don't, the bed's expensive. Don't tell her about the bed." I said, "Well, she asked." She said, there's a bed. I said, yeah, but my wife's right. It's expensive. I shouldn't even have mentioned. She said, no. God said, whatever you said you wanted and needed, I'm supposed to buy it for you. I said, well, praise God. Get in the car. I drove her to the furniture store. You don't want to waste time. If God's moving, you got to go. You got to go that moment. They got to get that momentum going. And I took her right down the furniture. I said, that's the bed. She bought the bed, the mattress, the box, and bought the whole thing for us. Favor. And I can tell you, I can begin to tell you story after story of miracles of favor. Once we got that window of heaven open, man, once we put the book in, we were consistent honoring God with our tithe, putting him first, living a God first life. We're $32,000 in debt in that little apartment. How are we ever going to get out of debt? We barely got enough to even get a real apartment. And here we are in this little apartment. And my wife goes to Walmart one day. She's in Walmart while she's in there. A lady comes up to her with a video camera. Says, hey, I'm looking for two friends. We got people at 20 Walmarts around the country today. We're trying to find two friends to be in a Walmart commercial. Wanted to see if you and your friend would like to audition. She had a friend with her. And they said, what do we got to do? They said, we're just going to shop. We'll videotape you shopping for a couple minutes. And we'll send it in and we'll see what happens. So they did. They videoed them. They came home, told me about it. And I kind of laughed at him, you know, like you went to Walmart, they asked you to be in a commercial. I've been to Walmart 100 times. No one's ever asked me to be in a commercial, and I feel like commercial material. I'm kind of laughing about it. I quit laughing a couple days later when we got a call from Walmart out of all the people of all the Walmarts around the country, her and her friend were the ones chosen for the commercial. They said, can you be at Walmart Friday morning at 8 o'clock? They got there. They're looking for the lady with the camera. Half of Walmart's blocked off. There's lights, camera crews everywhere. They said, we're here for the commercial. They said, come right this way. They said, who else is in it? They said, it's just you two. You're going to shop, talk about how much you love Walmart. We're going to videotape you all day shopping, talking about Walmart. At the end of the day, we'll take it all. We'll make a commercial out of it. So they did. Walmart's great. I love Walmart. This looked good on me. That's what they did for 8 hours. They thanked them for coming, set them down, handed them each a check for $800. I don't know about you, but I call that favor. Yeah, it's the first time my wife ever went shopping, came home with more money than she left with. They said, by the way, it's going to be a national commercial, which means every time it airs, you're going to get paid for it. Could you sign these contracts? They signed some contracts, came home, told me about it. I said, how much do you get paid? She said, I don't know. We got to call Monday. There's a number you call, they'll tell us. Because if it's on a network, you get a certain amount. On cable, you get another amount. And I'm in church on Sunday, and I feel like the Holy Spirit says, how much would you like that commercial to make? Well, I'm one of those people, if you're going to be thinking anyway, might as well think big, you know. And I'm thinking maybe Christine's going to have her own clothing line at Walmart, you know. I don't know what's going to happen. This is going to be big. And so the commercial starts airing. By the end of the first 2 weeks, we already got checks in the mail for over $5,000. Just checks started coming. Every time it aired, we kept getting, by the end, it aired for 13 weeks. By the end of the 13 weeks, we had received over $15,000 in the mail from Walmart. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Y'all a little jealous of my blessings, aren't you? I'm going to quit telling you about it if you get so upset about it. I tell you what, you never know. All I'm saying is you never know how God will bless you. Next time you go to Walmart, you fix your makeup, do your hair, you know, straighten your weave, whatever you got to do. But you don't want to, you never know. You just never know. Every time I walk by the security cameras, you just never know how God's going to bless you. But favor begins to be released in our life. Trusting God in that area of our tithe. I'm telling you, Pastor, give us the opportunity to fill out that card. I wouldn't miss the opportunity to try it. Hey, if it doesn't work, quit doing it. Yeah. But what if everything changes because you choose to be faithful and honor God and he opens up the windows of heaven? Now his favor begins to flow. And I could tell you a story, and there's a lot more of great stuff in the book that'll inspire you in that. But I encourage you, trust God. Trust God. Begin to declare favor. Begin to expect favor. This could be the greatest year of momentum. Say the rest of my life will be the best of my life. Let me pray for you just real quick. How many got at least one thing that helped you today? One thing to encourage you a little bit today. Father, I thank you for this great church. I thank you for the momentum that your spirit is flowing in this church. Lord, we thank you for the salvations and the building and all all the amazing things that are happening. But Father, as we finish today, more important than all the success and blessings and increase and favor, more important than any of that is just knowing that our heart and our life is right with God. Knowing that we're at peace with God. And I never want to close a service without giving people an opportunity to make sure that their heart and their life is right with God. In just a moment, I'm going to count to three. When I count to three, I'm just going to look across the building one time. As I look across the building just one time, if you're one of two people in this room today, number one, you're here today and you've never made a decision to put God first in your life, to live a God-first life. God loved you so much that he was willing to give, gave an incredible gift. He gave his son, Jesus. Maybe you've never accepted that gift. Maybe you never received that gift in your life, and you've never began this journey with God before. You say, Dave, here at the beginning of the year, I realize something's missing in my life, and I want to live a God-first life. I want to put God first. I want to receive that gift, his son, Jesus, into my life. Maybe you're here, and you've done that in the past, but you'd say today, Dave, you know what? I tell you what, God's not first place in my life anymore. I've allowed other things to come before that, and when I leave here today, I just want to know that my heart, my life is right with God, that I'm at peace with God. I want to put God back where he belongs, number one. If you're either one of those people, either first of all, you've never made the decision before, or number two, you've allowed some other things to come before that, and when you leave here today, you want to put God back first place, number one, in your life. When I count to three, I'm just going to look across the building just one time. If that's you, you say, Dave, pray for me. I want to make a decision today to put God back live a God-first life. When I count to three, just lift your hand real quick. One, two, three. All across the room. Let me see your hands all across the room. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Father, thank you for many hands all across the room. Lord, I thank you that you don't just give us the desire to change, but Lord, you give us the discipline to make the changes that we need to make. You don't condemn us, but you do convict us. You show us areas of our heart and things in our life that may not be pleasing to you. But Father, you said it's as simple as this. If we'd be willing to give it to you, you'd remove it as far as the east is from the west. If we just believe in our heart and say with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, we'd be saved. I want everyone in the room just to say with me, say, Jesus Christ is my Lord. Those of you who lifted your hand just began the journey to making the rest of your life the best of your life. I'd encourage you to get plugged in here into the house of God. Hear a word of life. I couldn't think of any place better you could go to begin to grow in that journey and that walk with God, to get around some people who really live a God-first life. Father, I thank you also in just a moment as Pastor gives us an opportunity again to show that we live a God-first life, to take this challenge, to trust you with the first of our increase, this 90-day challenge, to put you first, Lord, to put a book in the window, to keep the windows of heaven open over our life. It's the first step to seeing that favor released like never before. Father, I thank you for this incredible opportunity we have today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As Pastor's coming one more time, say, the rest of my life will be the best of my life. Amen. Hope I get to meet you in the back. Say hello to you. God bless you.
Amen. Wasn't that great? Didn't you enjoy Dr. Day? That was phenomenal. We're so thankful to have him here with us. We're going to have the opportunity to give to Dr. Dave, and if you'd like to give a little offering to him today, you can feel free to do so. If you're making out a check, you can make it to Word of Life Church, and buckets will be passed here in a minute where we can drop off that in the buckets that pass by. Everything you give in the buckets will go to Dr. Dave. For those of you who are giving tithes and offerings, you can do it the normal way by dropping it off at the exits. For those of you who may be taking the tithe challenge, you have a card that looks just like this. You can fill it out, put your name and address, all that good stuff on it. Or you can go online at thelife.cc/90 and do it that way. And you can drop off the card in the offering buckets when they pass by. The reason why we'd ask for your information is not to keep track or anything like that. We want it so that we can encourage you in this process. We're going to send you a book. We're going to send you things that can help you during these 90 days and keep your faith encouraged. For us, this is not a gimmick. We're 100% debt-free. For those of you who may be new to the church, our tithe and offering segment every week is around 20-30 seconds. We just simply pray over our tithes and offerings, and then we go on to the rest of the service. We honestly seek you and not yours. We can say that with 100% clarity. The reason why we do that, and with honesty, the reason why we do this is quite simple. I went through one place in my life where I did not tithe. One place, and that was when my father passed away. I took a job at a coffee shop and made a quarter above minimum wage, and I looked at my first paycheck and I thought, there is no way I can afford to give 10% of this to the church. And it wasn't because I didn't love God. It wasn't because I didn't love the church. It was because I was afraid. And what I've learned in my life is on the other side of fear is always destiny, that I never get into my destiny until I break through fear. And so with that, I knew I was sitting in church one day and I knew I've got to put God first, and I need to test God in this. I need to trust him with my finances. And I made a decision to do that at 19 years old, and it changed the course of my life. I could give you testimony after testimony after testimony. Long story short, by the end of that year, I was in college and Bible school. At the end of that year, I had someone paying my rent, and with a quarter above minimum wage, I was actually helping students pay their back tuition in Bible school. It was amazing how God moved in my life. And so we wanted to do something with this 90-day challenge that is unique. We wanted to help you get over that fear. And we wanted to help you get over that part that could keep you from the destiny God has for you financially by kind of erasing the fear, kind of moving that out and say, look, test God in this, and I believe he will move in your life. So you can fill out that card and drop it off in the buckets as they pass by. For those of you who are giving, I'd like to pray over your giving just real quick. So if you could, once again, bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for each gift and each giver, each and every person who is here. And I thank you, Father, that as we honor you, as we show you are first in our life, that you open up the windows of heaven and you pour out a blessing we do not have room enough to receive. It's an honor to seek you first. We're so thankful for all you blessed us with. Help us be a bigger blessing by blessing what we put our hand to. You're the best, Father. We love you, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, you can pass the buckets. For those of you who need prayer for anything today, I want to encourage you, come to our prayer team. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit's moving in our church. We're seeing some really, really neat things happen. And so I want to invite you to come to the altar if you need prayer for anything at the end of this. For those of you who would like to see Dr. Dave or to get a hold of the book, he'll be out on the foyer, in the foyer on the left-hand side. So as you're exiting, look to the left. Also, for any of you who are interested in leading a life group, on the right side of the foyer as you're exiting, you will see that. You can go over there and register to lead a life group that way. Or if you are a first-time guest or made a decision for Jesus, we want to put something in your hands. We want to give you a free gift, and that's right in the center of the foyer as you're exiting. It's a big thing there. That's our welcome center, or you can't miss it. It's got the flat screens on it. Go there and tell them, I made a decision, or this is my first time at Word of Life, and we will give you that free gift. We love you so much. We're going to be praying for you all week. Hopefully, you are continuing with your prayer challenge. We'll see you next weekend. Can't wait for it. You're dismissed. We'll see you next time. We want to thank you for listening to us today. I pray that you enjoy the message, and I just know that as we talk, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to your heart. Hopefully, we'll see you soon sometime. Join us this weekend if you can. Until then, we'll see you next time.